You're listening to the
number one radio.
Trim Radio Network.
The Brighter Life Institute presents A Brighter Life with your hosts, holistic health practitioner, Dr. Leslie B., and the Brighter Life co-founder, Nicholas Brighter. A stirring mix of holistic wellness, spirituality, and a pinch of politics interrupted.
Okay, hi, welcome, and greetings. This is the very first episode, of the Brighter Life Show, and we are so happy that you are here to join us today. Whatever you're doing in your life, we appreciate that you're taking some time out to listen to our radio show. And we also want to thank Trim Radio Network for airing our show. We appreciate it. And our producer is Rascala Stevens. Rascala Stevens, he is in Studio B. And hopefully he will be joining us here and there. I would love it if he has some questions. The history of the radio show is it's vet-owned. It is vet-owned. Some of the vets have post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so it's really just an entertainment radio show, informative show for vets. At least that's how it was originally designed. I do have to tell you a disclaimer. The Brighter Life Show is strictly for educational purposes only. Please do your own research. We are not doing any kind of diagnostic. If you call in, we're not able to diagnose you because there's so many other elements that we are unaware of. So we can't take one particular ailment that you may have and tell you, you know, how to heal yourself holistically. We can just talk in generalities. So again, the Brighter Life Show is for educational purposes only. And please, by all means, do your own research as well as seeing your own medical doctor before you start an herb program, a holistic living lifestyle program, to make sure that it works in conjunction. In fact, that's called integrated medicine. A lot of the docs, see, Nick, I could just talk on and on.
And I would say consult your doctor before you listen to the Brighter Life program.
Especially before you listen to Dr. Leslie Berkland. Yeah, consult your doctor. No, really, if there's something that you hear and it resonates with you and you absolutely want to start, enjoying, herbs, whether it be teas, whether it be, make sure that you consult your doctor. And the reason is because you may be on some pharmaceutical medicines. And if we tell you to drink a bunch of tea that is a special flower, it very well could interfere. So anything that you learn educationally, don't just go running out and, prescribing yourself. What you should do, make sure that you confer with your doctor. Unfortunately, doctors are being very welcoming. That's a new word.
Welcoming.
Yeah. So anyway, see, we have to have fun. We always have fun. But I like to start all of my clients, my patients, before I even kind of meet them, I like them to think about meditation, because meditation is good for, and I am going to tell you how to meditate, so we don't need to worry about that. But for now, meditation is good for your own mental well-being. You can gain a new perspective on stressful events. You can develop stress management skills. You can focus on the present, increase imagination and creativity, and that's something that I think is quite extraordinary. Reduce negative emotions. You can increase self-awareness, and they also refer to that as mindfulness. There's a lot of courses nowadays on mindfulness, and that also incorporates increasing your tolerance and patience and your self-awareness and reducing negative emotions. In other words, living in the present, living for today. I started out as a life coach. And just through going to school and continued education, and then it led into more and more. And I thought, you know, I've just been spending so many years with the studying, I might as well just go and get my PhD. And it did take 3 additional years. And with some, you know, hard work, I achieved it. It was a little bit easier for me because I've been bedridden. I'm not right now currently because my life has changed. But at the time, I was pretty much in bed quite often. I did walk with a cane because I have multiple sclerosis. I was diagnosed with this autoimmune disease about 30 years ago. Didn't have a whole lot of effect on me. I was able to give birth to 3 kids and raise 3 sons, and everything seemed fine until about 5 years ago. And then all of the symptoms started showing up and made my life a little bit difficult. But I try, it's not always easy, but I always try to look at my capabilities as opposed to my disabilities. And having multiple sclerosis is a very strange disease because it's an autoimmune disease. And one day you can be perfectly fine. I can walk to my mailbox without a walker, without a cane. I look fine. And then the next day I may sleep for 3 days. So it's really difficult for someone else, either rather it be a family member or just an acquaintance or even a neighbor. It's very difficult for people to understand the disease because it's a difficult disease to understand. It's different for every single person. There is certain criteria in order to be diagnosed, but basically it has to do with your nerves and the myelin sheath that covers our nerves, and it's being stripped. And so that's why you either have numbness on a certain side of your body or all over your body, then maybe you might be in excruciating pain. It's not the type of disease where anyone seems to be too terribly sympathetic. Because
and now, is multiple sclerosis, people can be paralyzed, is that right?
Well, it depends on, it is a progressive disease. So you start out with just maybe some numbness in a foot. You may have numbness in a hand, or you may have shooting pain in a hand, because think about your nerves. Without their myelin sheath, they're just shooting off every which way. And so
what does that the famous scientist who's paralyzed,
Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking.
He did not have multiple sclerosis, I'm not certain. Unfortunately, I don't know, but that is something that I will find out.
Because I know in his case, that was also progressive.
Yes. So this and multiple sclerosis, very similar to what Stephen Hawking had, is it does progress. So you do have to kind of look at your future.
And what is the extreme?
The extreme is that you are paralyzed and that you will be in a wheelchair.
So it's similar in that way, that the outcome is potentially similar.
Yes, but that's not with everybody. Okay. Like, think about it. I had 30 years. For 30 years, you know, I really didn't have a whole lot of symptoms. And I was able to live life, little tiny symptoms. I might get disorientated when I was driving, and that was a little frustrating. You know, maybe a foot was numb. Occasionally I'd get drop foot. And I don't know if you know what that is, but that's where you're walking and your foot, you just can't lift a foot up.
So now, at some point in time, you became bedridden. And I understand that MS and being bedridden is a part of your story and has been a part of your natural health journey.
Yeah, exactly. So that was part of why I was doing so much studying, because I wanted to know as much as I could about it, and only to become more frustrated because it's different with so many people. Something else that's awfully frustrating is people don't understand it. The cruel things that people have said, well, you look fine. I don't understand. why don't you go snow skiing with me next week? And it's like, well, because that ship has sailed. I love snow skiing, and I will always have the fond memories of snow skiing. But I am unable physically to snow ski. I cannot jump. You know, we just jump in the air. Like, just jump in the air, like just a half an inch.
I like jumping.
Well, I am unable to do something simple like just jumping. I can't run. But, you know, sometimes people are cruel, but you have to look at them like they just simply don't know. One lady once said to me, because I was on my way to my mailbox, which is literally two houses away. She said,
"Now, when you're walking around your, I know you've used a cane before. I've seen you use a cane, I think, before.
Yeah.
But I've seen you not use a cane also when your symptoms aren't as.
I call it good days.
When you're on your good days. So when you're on your good days, I would imagine someone could not tell that
That's
you
right.
had any issues.
Yeah, they can't tell. And then they think that I really don't have it, that I'm pretending. And like I was trying to say, the lady across the street was like, "You don't have your cane today." And I said, "No, I'm having a good day." She goes, "Well, do you even have MS? And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure. My neurologist is pretty sure. And all my MRIs are pretty sure." And it's funny because people will question you.
If someone had a broken foot, you know, if they had broken a bone and they were on crutches, then I don't think someone would say something like that. But I can understand how that could be frustrating or hurtful, maybe.
I just take it that they don't really understand. You know, there's other diseases that somebody might have, and nobody questions. They don't even know that much, but they know this person has, you know, maybe a blood disease or something. So they don't question them, and they understand if they have a day that they're unable to participate in an activity. I do struggle with making plans like a year out. I've had a couple of people say, "Hey, do you want to go on like a cruise in the Mediterranean?" And it's like, well, no, because I don't know what my condition is going to be like for that week. It may be great. So as far as making long-term commitments, I avoid it. Short-term commitments, like a month out, I'm pretty safe. I just have to add extra time. You know, I add extra time to whatever I do. If I'm going to cook something, I add some extra time because I don't have feeling in one of my hands at all. I've had to consciously not jump out of bed. We're so used to jumping out of bed and starting our day. I consciously have to slow down, do sort of a body test, a toe test, you know, flex all my muscles, slowly get up. And so little things have changed. But
so can you use your hand that you don't have, you said you don't have feeling. Is it usable?
I can, because I have a muscle memory.
Is that pretty common for people with MS?
Some can't use their hand at all. I do not have feeling in my hand, and I'll give you an example. I shut my pinky in a door and didn't know it. I started walking away, and it pulled me back. And when I looked at my hand, my finger was smashed. And so I thought, well, wow, this really sucks. Now, fortunately, see, I try to look at the positive. Because I don't have any feeling in my hand, I set my bone myself. And I went and got one of those little splints and put it on. And it actually healed perfectly straight. I am not recommending anyone else to do this that has MS or has some any kind of... if they're paralyzed in any way, try not to set your own finger. But in my case, I felt confident because of being a natural, healthcare provider. I think that I sort of knew exactly what to do and what certain vitamins to take and what anti-inflammatory. So I'm a little bit more familiar I would not recommend somebody to do that. And again, I feel like I have to say our disclaimer. And our disclaimer is this show is just simply for educational purposes. Please, please, please do your own research. Talk to your own doctor. You may get excited about some things that we're going to talk about, but you need to talk to your own physician. So, you know, that's something that you must do. So please, 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 the Brighter Life Show is strictly for educational purposes only, and please do your own research. Anyway, as far as being a holistic life counselor, holism or holistic medicine has been around for many, many years, let's say 5,000 years. You know, that's how it was treated. And it doesn't mean that it's not good. Some medical doctors, and I love medical doctors, I love MDs, so this is not any kind of criticism, but they may say something like, well, a lot of people died, you know, there were black plagues, they, you know, things happen, so that kind of medicine doesn't really work. It's just, you know, plant-based medicine, that's not really effective. And that's completely not true. It's just that there's a lot of big pharma pressure. And that's also why my natural health, my PhD in natural health, why I wanted to obtain that. Because it was important to me to try to treat my MS as natural as natural as possible.
You are a natural health expert. And my understanding of natural health is it's the idea of achieving homeostasis, and that your body just works, all its systems and organs work better when it's in homeostasis.
Absolutely. Homeostasis is just your body being in perfect balance.
And achieving that through natural means.
And then achieving, exactly, through natural means, rather it be foods that are whole foods, that mm-hmm. are not processed foods, natural herbs. There are some herbs that you can take that...
Does that encompass, you said food, so it would encompass herbs and diet, anything like exercise, or is that outside of natural health? Or
no, it's not. You always need some exercise. Unless you are an athlete and you are a triathlon, or you are a professional, you know, an Olympian, or you want to go to the Olympics, you just want to get some form of exercise. It's just healthy for everybody, because a lot of us are working remotely. I'm working remotely, so I try to get my little bit of exercise. For me, it's swimming. When I go into a swimming pool, I'm like a completely different person. I feel just like I can do anything. I can do anything when I'm swimming, and it's the way that I can exercise my muscles. Someone else may want to just do some isometrics by just flexing their muscles. Someone else may want to do it by just using the power plates, the vibrational power plates, and standing on them, and that really helps strengthen their muscles. There's just a variety of things depending on your situation, your lifestyle.
Natural health encompasses.
It does.
A broad range of things, it sounds like.
It does, but in general, if you had to really think about like this sort of holistic medicine, it's really doing it through eating healthy and through your diet and taking proper vitamins, because our bodies need vitamins that we are not getting in our daily diets. We're just not getting it. I'm sorry, McDonald's, we're not getting much nutritional value.
And that sounds like one of your expertise in natural health, if I remember right, is specifically in natural medicines and natural, what was the other one? Natural.
Well, I do herbs, you know, so, mm-hmm. so there's a lot. It is, herbs are just simply extraordinary. What you can do with herbs. You can
and
look.
That herbs would be the natural medicine.
That would be part of natural medicine, absolutely. Okay. For example, if you think, you know, dandelion.
Oh, and natural nutrition.
Yeah, exactly.
Being the other one.
Yeah,
okay.
And how you eat. So,
and so I think if someone wanted to know how to set up their life to live in a way that was is healthy, to live their best life that they can in a way that's sustainable, then they would want to take things from natural health.
Ideally, you know, that would be wonderful. However, it's not 100% realistic. My approach to natural health is what I call baby stepping. Let's say you came to me, and I don't know what you eat. I don't know what your, you know, if you take vitamins. I'm not that certain. Mm-hmm. However, it's all about baby stepping. Sometimes when we just dive into it, like, I'm going to get rid of all of my pharmaceuticals and I'm only going to do, you know, medicinal herbs. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. You need to do it baby stepping. And so,
especially if you're someone that's just been diagnosed with cancer, you probably shouldn't not take your, go on a radiation therapy.
You're not going to reject what your medical doctor has suggested because you have decided that you're going to go completely natural. That probably wouldn't be the time. But when
I think an important thing to point out is that having following good natural health protocol doesn't necessarily mean that you're rejecting the mainstream medical advice.
That's right. That's right. But sometimes
it's in addition to.
It is, and that's what they refer to as integrated health. It goes both ways. A lot of medical doctors, and I have to tell you, this is so exciting to me. They have discovered natural medicine, and so they're including it in their practice. And somebody that has a degree in natural health is not excluding anything that a medical doctor would recommend or any pharmaceuticals. We're not excluding it. But what we're trying to do with just healthy eating, for example, like let's just talk with nutrition. And when I say I want to go back to baby stepping, sometimes people will just say, I'm going to go on a whole new diet and change everything tomorrow. Typically, not with everybody, but typically someone will last maybe 3 weeks doing that. And then they just go back into their old habits because it's not really realistic. So my recommendation, do your own research, but my recommendation is that people do it through attrition. Let's say you're somebody that loves Coca-Cola. You are not willing to give up your Coca-Cola. You're not willing to give up your morning coffee. You're not willing to give up, you know, certain things in life. So just eliminate it little by little through attrition. In other words, if you are somebody that has, and I've actually had clients that will drink 10.
And that also sounds like if there's something you don't think you can give up, you're saying that you don't have to give it up, but reduce it.
Right. But just through attrition. So let's say you have 10 Coca-Colas a day. That's what you drink. That's just what you love. You've been doing that. Replace one. Start by replacing one with some water. You know, just find some water that you like. It can even have a little hint of flavor in it, if that. But just replace one. And so, and then maybe the next day you'll replace two. Maybe in a month you'll replace three. So you have to do it through just sort of, you know, attrition by eliminating it and then just, you know, incorporating something else that's healthy. My particular issue was coffee. I grew up in Seattle, Washington. I started drinking coffee when I was 12 years old because that's what we do. Coffee is natural. It's beans. You know, it's ground up and it's mixed with water. And what's wrong with coffee?
I think I started drinking coffee regularly when I was 14 or 15, which isn't that much older.
Yeah, okay. So now I love my coffee. Well, how much coffee do you drink in a day?
I'll probably one or two or maybe three cups.
Okay. Well, I will get to that point someday. Now, me, and I know better. I know that I probably shouldn't have that much of a stimulant, you know, throughout the day. But I have about, I started out with 5 cups, and I am down to about 3, and occasionally I'll have 4. I enjoy my coffee, but I also supplement it with a lot of water. I drink a lot of water, well beyond what is recommended, which would be like, you know, 8 glasses, let's say, of water. So now, but I have some patients that are clients that actually haven't had a glass of water in years. They'll drink 10 Coca-Colas. They might drink a glass of orange juice, which does have some water in it.
It's kind of hard to imagine someone not having had any water over a day. I think I drink water every. I can't imagine not drinking any water.
Well, you would be surprised. You would be surprised. So I'm just saying, including, just eliminate one Coke. Eliminate. I don't care. Eliminate half a Coke.
So if you don't have any water, have a glass of water and have one less glass of something else.
Yes. So,
and water is your body needs it to filtrate.
We need fluids. We need fluids in our body constantly, and why not have water? Something that's healthy. Because when you have something that is not healthy, even though it may have a little bit of some water in it, your body has to contend. It has to contend with these chemicals. It's like, what's it going to do? I mean, the way your cells work, I mean, they have to fight off all that nonsense and try to find any nutritional value in it to, you know, then eventually get into your cells and then eventually have the flow of your body working, because it all stems on our circulatory system. Our heart, our every single organ, you know, relies on the fluids that we take in every day.
And it's actually kind of amazing when you think about it that people can eat completely different foods from each other. Some people eating processed foods that don't even seem like foods, and some other people eating some very healthy natural foods, and then that are maybe plant-based, and then other people eating the carnivore diet, where they're eating only meat, and no matter what they eat, you get a human being. You know, you have a human being in their body, so they're having these widely different diets, but at the end of the day, their body's able to take all the things that make those things up.
It takes the nutrients that it needs. Mm-hmm. Your body will take the nutrients that it needs, and you will basically eliminate, you know, what your body doesn't need. Now, the problem with that is your intestines. You know, it goes to your small intestines first and then your large intestines. And so it does build up some toxins in your intestines. And if you don't have a nice little bowel movement every single day, I wasn't planning on talking about stools on this episode. But if you don't eliminate, you know, every single day, you're going to build up some toxins that can make you sick. So if you're a young person, you can eat, you know, kind of a crummy diet, and maybe you can go years and years and years. But when you're getting a little older, it is going to have an effect on you. And the beauty of it all is that you can change today. This isn't something that, you know, you can't just change. You
know, I know something that when I was younger, I seemed to not really feel much of a difference in altering my diet. But at this point, something that I've noticed it has had a drastic change is it would be in regards to just making sure that I'm digesting my foods.
Okay, I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to give you, and you do not, and you know, everyone else do your research, but Nick, I'm going to give you some advice right now. Something very simple that you can do. Are you ready?
Okay. Lay it on me.
Chew your food. Chew your food and chew your food. Every bite that you take, chew it until you can feel the saliva in your mouth surrounding your food. That will make your digestive system work properly. People don't realize why they have saliva. You know, we're just so used to eating and just swallowing our food, and we have the next bite ready before we even have, you know, completely swallowed the next one. Eat slower and chew and chew and chew. And the saliva stimulates all of the other organs in your body. Also, saliva breaks down your food. Everyone thinks, well, I have natural acids in my tummy, so my food will go down and those acids will break it down appropriately. They don't, because they can't break down everything to a mush. It is so much better. And you also need the saliva.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the acids in your stomach have to at least be, you know, tame enough where they're not going to digest themselves. You're not going to be eating yourself inside out.
Right, exactly. So we have a purpose for our saliva, and that's what it is. So I always tell people, when part of my baby stepping program is, before you even chew, you know, just eliminate a couple foods that you know probably aren't that good for you and replace it with something good. And just one thing. I don't care if it's replacing a candy bar with a banana. Just one. You know, eat your other candy bar if you have three a day. But just replace one, and that's fine. And something kind of extraordinary happens. When you start doing this slowly over time, you will realize that foods, natural foods, taste better. And I'll give you an example. I had some raspberries the other day. And I haven't had candy or sugar for a long, long time. I mean, about 3 years. And so I had some fresh strawberries because they were fresh at the grocery store. And I thought to myself, should I sprinkle a little bit of maybe some raw sugar on it just to give it a little bit of, you know, just make it a little sweeter? And I didn't have any raw sugar, so I just went ahead and ate the strawberries. They were so sweet that it was sweeter than any candy bar I have ever had, because my taste buds have changed, because I haven't just been saturating them with just processed foods. So you'll enjoy natural foods better as time goes on. But again, my thing is baby stepping. I just have found that people that are overzealous, boy, I want to go in and I just want to go completely herbal and everything with herbs and healing, you know, my body. Yeah, we need to do it little by little. You need to do it little by little, because it took you years to build up all these toxins in your body.
I know one of the steps in James Clear's book, what is it, Atomic Habits, is to make your habit enjoyable. I don't know what the exact wording is, but to make it enjoyable. So when you take your first baby step, have it be something that you like.
Right. Well, you're not going to pick out something gross, you know, because then you're not going to be enthusiastic about doing that again, you know. So that's why I was saying, if you're going to replace one of your Coca-Colas, have it with some water, and you might put a little touch of sweetener in it, you know, something, a little flavoring, a tiny bit, and then you'll...
Could you do a Vita water?
You sure could.
Or a Gatorade?
I would rather have somebody drink Gatorade than a Coca-Cola, because Gatorade has electrolytes in it. Mm-hmm. It's going to help you hold in your sodium that you need. People were on such anti-sodium diets where everyone is like, I'm bi, I don't want sodium. But we actually need sodium, and the sodium is what keeps all your fluids in your body flowing. And so if we don't have any sodium, you're just going to...
I know that's something, you know, recently, not too many years ago, that I've come to understand that, you know, in the past, people and societies traded for salt, and salt was a very important resource for them. And in processed foods, there's a little bit of added salt, but not a whole lot of added salt. And if you're someone that's not eating a lot of processed foods, then you're definitely able to add salt to your, you do not have too much salt in your diet, I guess.
Well, in general, we don't. A lot of processed foods has a different type of salt, nitrate, which can be dangerous. So
even if you're having a lot of processed foods, you still probably want to actually add salt to your diet.
Some salt. Now, I particularly like, Himalayan sea salt,
The pink Himalayan.
But then regular iodized salt is perfectly fine because we also need iodine. There's certain things that our body just doesn't produce, and we do need to add.
So get any kind of salt.
Yes, but I'm just telling you what I particularly like. You can have some salt. I mean, don't be afraid to put some salt on your food. It is not, unless you are somebody that eats, just an overload of processed foods. Because the reason why they use sodium nitrate is because it actually cures the meat of, processed food.
Okay.
And people have gotten poisoned from too much processed food with sodium nitrate.
Soups also. So soups can have a lot of salt in them.
Soups have an awful lot.
Canned soup.
Canned soup does, because it's also part of the preserving process. I don't know that it's necessarily the good kind of salt that we need that I'm actually talking about. That's really.
So you might not need to add any. So if you have canned soups regularly, then probably don't add more salt.
Don't need it. It just depends. But there's just been craze that salt's going to kill you.
I think that's kind of what I was trying to get into, is that I recognize that, and what I've come to learn is that you can add quite a bit of salt to your diet, and there aren't really negative health effects for doing so.
That's if you're adding regular salt. Now, salt that's in processed foods, the one that's to cure the meat that happens to be in the food, now that can raise your blood pressure, and that's the type of salt. So people are getting rid of all of their salt, are buying things that are low in salt, thinking that that's going to solve their high blood pressure. And it does to a certain extent. So the second thing that I recommend to my clients, besides just eating healthier through, eliminating, just baby stepping it. And what I mean by eliminating, by baby stepping, is eliminating bad things from your diet and replacing it with good things, but not all at once, because we want you to stick with it and to do it and to see how your body is feeling in increments. And that way it's easier for you to stick with the program. So, well, I'm going to switch my gears here. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So I am going to talk about meditation. And this is something that I recommend to all of my clients. There are so many different types of meditation. I think the most common one, or the most heard about one, is just simply praying. We sit and we pray, and that's a form of meditation. But there's sort of a meditation is a broad term, and there's so many different techniques to meditating. And what I always say is that don't let the prospect of proper meditation add to your stress. We're stressed enough already just in everyday life. And so you think, everyone's talking about meditation.
Am I saying the right chant?
Pardon me?
Am I saying the right chant? Am I saying right. My
okay.
Mantra?
Well, chanting and mantra, that is a type of meditation. There's examining your entire body through meditation. There's relaxed breathing meditation. There's having different, I mean, there's so many different types. Mantra is very, very common within a lot of religions too. They will say just the same mantra over and over. Somebody may say an affirmation over and over and over. All of it's good. There is no good or bad way to meditate. There's something that's very popular right now, and it's called mindfulness meditation. And that's where you're just meditating and trying to be in the present. You don't want to focus on the past. You don't want to focus on things that are negative. It's just being in the present and mindful of your environment. That also is a form of meditation. But all in all, the reason why I recommend that people spend some time meditating is for several reasons, and it's mostly for emotional well-being. So you can gain by meditating a new perspective on stressful events. There could be an event that happened that was stressful. By meditating, you might have a new outlook on that, and to develop stress management skills, or, you know, focusing on the present is mindful meditation. Reducing negative emotions, and to increase your tolerance and patience. You know, we just so jump with our opinions and what we think, and it's really just thinking about what matters. Does that really matter in the scope of your life to judge somebody else?
So meditating has health benefits in regards to your mental well-being.
Right, because you don't want to be troubled all the time worrying about what everyone else is doing. You need to worry about, you know, not even worry, that's the wrong word. You need to learn to not worry about every single nuance in life. But the thing with meditation is everybody thinks to themselves, okay, I have to spend an hour. I have to look into a certain light. It has to be complete darkness around me. There can't even be a bird chirping because that could be distracting.
I have to have my legs crossed.
Crisscross applesauce. You know, in the lotus position, your back perfectly straight, your hands out on your knees, your fingers are certain.
And levitating.
Not levitating. But the thing is there isn't a way, you know, there isn't one way. That just seems to be very common. And the time frame, you can meditate for 5 minutes. And the best part about meditation is it's free. It's completely free. Think about doing something that can make your life so much better, can make your body heal faster, can make so many things, your brain function better. So many things just through meditation. You know, we do this meditation. So don't let yourself be stressed out over the proper way to do it. You know, in the beginning, start out with 5 minutes. You can go to your room. You know, you do want distractions. If you have kids that are going to be coming home in 5 minutes, then maybe that's not a good time. But if the kids are off in school and, you know, you're just sitting there, you could be in the living room and the TV's off, your phone's off, and you just want 5 minutes. What I recommend is to do a clearing of your mind meditation. Clearing of your mind. This not to say the things that you want, not to focus on the law of attraction, trying to get the job that you want, or trying to get the red race car that you need and envisioning. That is wonderful to do. But just for the very first, it's clearing your mind of everything. So you want to be just not really have a whole lot of thoughts. You don't want to bring in anything negative. You just want it to be blank. And then when it is, you open up
Now, do you want to focus on being blank?
No, that's what I'm yes. Okay, that's interesting. No one's ever asked me that. Yes, you want to actually focus on just a blank gray screen. That's it. You want nothingness. You want it to just be you. It's just simply your soul being.
Now, what is, if you have things around you that you notice or that you hear or that you see, how do you deal with those?
They're there. I mean, if there's some emergency and your fire alarm goes off, you're not completely unaware of your environment, but you just blank it out, just like we do. Just blank it out. In fact, by doing this, it's going to get to the point where you can even meditate by driving in your car. There's people honking. There's all sorts of things happening, but you're able to, by clearing your mind, to get to that point where then you can sort of, ask the universe for things that maybe you want, or maybe pray for something very specific, whether it be your own health or someone else's health. So, but the first, now this is my recommendation in the beginning, to start with 5 minutes. You may want to go up for 10 minutes, but there's all this pressure with meditation, like, well, I meditated for an hour every day and I do this. It's like, well, that's fantastic, but it's okay to just take 5 minutes in your morning and especially at night before you go to bed.
Now, what is this? I've heard of meditation, and that's referred to as being mindful, where you do notice and the sounds and sights and your senses, acknowledging your senses and what they're perceiving around you.
Yes, and that's true, but that's not, I'm not talking about your distractions. I'm talking about if it's something that's a distraction, mm-hmm. that's going to take away from you. But being mindful of your environment, being mindful of your just yourself, being mindful of being present and not focusing. What we're trying to eliminate is all of your negative thoughts from what happened from when you started meditating prior,
So you're not ignoring what your senses are picking up, but rather something you're regretting. Or maybe someone said something to you that you're thinking over and over, or something you said to someone else that you're thinking
over. Or coming up with a conversation like, I should have said this, or I should have done that, or I'm really miffed at that person, and gee, I want to not be miffed at that person. Well, the odds are through that meditation, you're just going to be more miffed at that person. So it's just...
If you were to focus on that.
Yeah, it's clearing your mind, opening yourself up, and waiting, actually, for some answers, waiting for answers, whether it be God. It's actually a good way to pray, because God knows what you need. God knows what you want. And you have to open up that complete, clear channel without all the negative influences around you, without your old regrets, without your old thoughts. Just open up that channel and just wait to hear, and you will instinctively know what the answer is.
And I know in the vibrational space, for listeners that are not religious, the idea is that there is a universal energy that is provides the energy to all of life, and so you're receiving from that source. And if you're religious, if you're a Christian, then that source would be God. And if you're not religious, then that source would just be the source of everything, the infinite source.
Well, the infinite source it is essentially God. So whatever you want to name it, whatever you're comfortable with naming it, it all kind of goes, because who created energy? Who created the planet? Who created everything? Who created our own vibrations? And hey, we're going to be talking about vibrations in a little bit, but I want to just finish up on talking about meditation. And just this is the first step. There's so many different types. Once you get into meditating and clearing your mind and just receiving some answers, because sometimes when we meditate, we tell the source, as you would say, God, as I would say, we tell God, this is what we want, and we want it. Then a week later, we don't get it. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, you know what? God does answer your prayer every single time, no exception. He doesn't say, you know what, Nick, I'm going to pick you and I'm just going to ignore you. The answer could be that you don't get an answer right then. That you don't get to, you still have to go through some other understandings and some other awarenesses before you get to get the answer or the clarity. Because we all have an answer that we want.
I think it is interesting that the any meditation that you're doing or any praying that you're doing to the infinite source is going to respond with, it's going to have a response, and you putting that energy out into the world is the infinite source is going to do something with that. And looking at vibrations, which we won't go in depth in this episode, we will in later episodes, but going into vibrations explains sort of what we know about that.
So vibration is basically energy, just energy that's around, like quantum physics.
There is a energy level that people have, and in general a higher energy level is what people would want rather than a lower energy level.
Okay. I want a higher energy level. I'm in. I can't wait for next week so that we can talk about this. So with meditation, one thing that I need to say is breathing is also important. So when you start out, So we're just going to get down to logistics here. Get yourself in a comfortable position. Like we said before, you do not have to be in the lotus position. You do not have to be, you know, with your back perfectly straight. You could be laying in bed. You could even have your head on your pillow. You can close your eyes, but you want to be very comfortable. And you want your body to be even.
Is there a specific breathing technique?
Not really. It's all about your comfort. What is the most comfortable position that you can be in? But still, you want to keep things pretty even. You don't want one hand up in the air and one hand down. So just keeping your body even, your legs would be doing the same thing, you know, uncross your legs. You know, but still get as comfortable as you can. Now, for me, I do most of my meditation in bed. I don't sit up straight. I don't cross my legs. And the second place that I do meditation is driving in a car. If I'm a passenger, you know, I can be driving in the car. And if I'm going somewhere, I might just do, you know, a little meditation. It might take 3 minutes. But breathing is important. So before you really start opening up and just having a completely just a gray, you know, gray screen, you take some breaths. You take some really good quality breaths. So you might breathe in 2 deep breaths and breathe out, you know, breathe in, let's say, a count of 2 and breathe out a count of 4. So taking some deep breaths and really paying attention to your breathing is a really good way to start out, you know, your meditation. And then, but at first, now I'm going to be talking later in later episodes about the different types, like you were saying, mantra, you know, repeating a mantra or praying for something very specific that you want, or envisioning yourself, like I said before, the law of attraction, you know, where you actually envision yourself having whatever it is you desire, and the universe will answer that, and God will answer that for you too. You can also be walking, you know,
and answering that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get exactly what you asked for, or does it in what you just said?
Ultimately, it should. You know, I've had friends say, well, I was meditating for a year and asking for this and that. It's like, well, did you envision yourself that you already have that? Are you already living as if this is something that is just absolutely going to happen? So there's a different way of how you can meditate in your different approach. If it's just something you want, like, please, 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 dear Lord, please, I want that job. I want that job. That job would just change my life. That would just make everything wonderful. My money situation wouldn't be horrible if I had that job. Instead of just envisioning yourself as having that job, knowing that you have that job, knowing that you are qualified for the job, not feeling insecure about the job, and just letting that happen.
And I would probably also add, in this specific example, knowing that you don't need that job.
Oh, that's a good point, because there's always other opportunities in life. And of course, the answer may be that there is another opportunity. You know, it may not be that job, but, you know, we basically can have, you know, what we want.
Or if I was going to say that more accurately, I would probably word it as accepting that it's okay to not get that job.
Yeah, I wouldn't add that. I'm going to say, no. I'm going to put that, that would be a hard no.
Oh, okay.
That would be hard. No, if you really want the job, you just have to envision that you have the job. You have the job. You're in. It's called. But it's another part of meditation. But I'm just going to say it anyway, since you brought this up.
Is this law of attraction?
It is a little bit. So yeah, it is law of attraction.
Like, it sounds similar to reality creation, or
yes.
Is it more law of attraction?
It's a combination of both. You know, they talk about in the law of attraction having, you know, a board where you visualize. So it's visualizing. And people just don't always know that visualizing yourself in that job or whatever it happens to be that you desire. Visioning, using your imagination, having conversations at the job, how you envision the first day, you know, actually like experiencing that job while you're meditating. So that is something that is really terrific, as opposed to saying, I'm unhappy, I just don't want to be unhappy anymore. Okay, that wouldn't work. Saying, well, if I don't get the job, then it's okay. That's not where you're going to meditate. Now, if you ultimately don't get the job, there may be a very good reason. A, you might have sabotaged yourself. B, there may be another opportunity that came up that's better. But for the purposes of meditation, you don't pull in anything that could sabotage you getting that job, because the thought that it's okay that you don't get that job, it may be okay, but the thought of that, you probably won't get the job. So you don't want to even think in those terms.
Okay. So, okay. How you're going to approach it is that you wouldn't think in those terms, but neither the opposite. Neither I need the job.
Need. You do not need. You
okay.
do not want to say that you need the job.
I think
job.
That's probably more along the lines yeah. of where I was trying to get to,
okay.
is getting rid of the idea of I need this job.
Oh, well, then you are correct. Because, you know, you just are, this is your job. You own that job. You are available for that job. You
but,
are going
but
to have.
At the same time, so you don't need the job, but at the same time, not acknowledging that it's okay if I don't have the job, you don't even approach it.
You don't approach that
way.
because in your mind you have that job.
Okay.
You have that job.
That's all. If it's a profession you're trying to get into, that is already what you are.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've had many friends tell me, "Well, I meditate, nothing ever happens," and but then they will go back into their same patterns of sabotaging themselves. So.
You know what, this something I have noticed over my life is, especially with young people that are young, recent adults or their children, and as I've seen them become recent adults, and when they're children, they know what career they're going into. From when they're young kids, they know what career they're going into, and it might require them to work at a certain company or a certain agency. An example I can think of is a kid that I knew growing up, and he knew that he was going to work for the Secret Service and protect the president. He knew he was going to do that, and that's what he ended up doing. That's what he became. And he lived, when he was a kid, he acted as if that's just what he's going to do. And that's what he ended up
Well,
doing.
he was pretty intuitive for a young kid, so he must have had some.
But in his mind, he already acted out that that's just he the only reason he wasn't doing it at that time is because he was 12 years old. But when he was 18 years old, that's just what he does, and that's what he ended up doing.
Well, a positive thing is that
Working for
we.
the Secret Service, that is. I don't know the specifics beyond that point.
But the thing is, a positive thing is that we don't have to, that's fantastic. That's a great story. I love this story. But you can start it today. You can start it today. And I don't care if you are 12, 40, 80. You can start meditating and achieve your goals today. So, and that's the beauty. And of course, the beauty of it is it's free. Now, some people will go into groups. There's group meditation, and you can go into groups. I have done a couple group meditations. It wasn't my cup of tea. I'm not saying anything negative because people love group meditations. I just prefer to do it myself because it's just something that I'm most comfortable. So now, next week we are going to talk, or our next episode, we are going to talk a little bit deeper into the different, real different types of meditation. And as you evolve and as you see positive things happening, and that will be next week's episode. Also, we're going to talk about trauma and how you can meditate to heal trauma and past trauma and new trauma. And there's several different types of trauma. There can be trauma that is childhood trauma. There can be what's called inherited trauma, trauma that you watched your parents do things, or your parents' trauma can actually transfer to the kids, things that that trigger them, then in turn the kid learns that it triggers them. So there's so many different types of trauma. There's trauma in war, which there's PTSD, which is just awful, and they have can be triggered easily, and it can be a very difficult life. And so there are some techniques. One is through meditation. But there is a technique that I'm going to explore with everyone. And I'm just going to tell you, and if you like, you can go look it up online. You can watch a YouTube video. And it is called the movie theater technique. And the movie theater technique, it's not talk therapy. It's not even meditating. It's a technique that scientists and researchers have discovered is 97% effective.
You said it was called the movie
It
theater
is
technique?
actually called the movie theater technique,
Okay.
and it's for trauma. And so I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to recommend for now that people, until our next episode, actually go ahead and look it up so you can do your own research. It is quite extraordinary. The people that have done this technique, it's very similar to neuro linguistics, program. very similar, which you know a lot about that, right?
NLP,
yes.
Neuro-linguistic programming. Yes, I'm familiar with some.
Okay.
Some techniques.
So it's sort of along that lines, but this particular movie theater technique specifically for PTSD has been extremely successful. In fact, people that have gone to therapists, whether it be talk therapists, talking to their friends and family until they're blue in the face and still being triggered and still going on.
And it being technique-based does sound like it would be something along the lines of NLP.
It can be done in 10 minutes, and studies have also shown after 3 sessions of doing it, their life has drastically changed. So, I mean, it's really extraordinary, and I am so excited to talk about the movie theater technique. So
we'll go over that next week.
That's what we're going to be talking about next week. So again, I have to say it one more time. This is not a therapy session. We do not diagnose. This is for educational purposes only. Please, please, please do your own research. And it has been a pleasure to be on the show. And Nick, I want to thank you. And I do want to know a lot more about the Brighter Institute and everything that you do. I know that what you do for me at the Brighter Institute, but there's just so much more to the organization. And so I'm very excited to hear about that. So anyway, anything that you want to add?
Thank you about the Brighter Institute. We provide courses for people, and our goal is to enable people to live brighter lives.
I like it. A brighter life, because things are looking brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like it. If anyone wants to get in contact with either myself or with Nick, you can email us. And the email, ask us any questions. We will always get back to you. It may not be, immediate, but within 24 hours, you will hear from us. And our email address is thebrighterlife@mail.com. And that's just thebrighterlife. @mail.com.
That's the just bright. Like it sounded. Just like it sounds.
Well, yeah, the Brighter Life. Just want to spell it. Okay. In case someone doesn't know how to spell brighter.
The Brighter Life at mail.com. And anyone that would like information about myself can check out my personal website, Nicholas Brighter, spelled just like it sounds, .com. NicholasBrighter.com.
And is that Nicholas, NICHOLAS?
Oh, yes. NICH with an H. Nicholas.
Aha.
An H, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to our premiere show. We are just delighted to have you be part of our show. And also on our next episode, we are going to be taking some call-ins. So if you want to call in and you have a specific question, we will be happy to have a visit with you. So thank you, Nick. And thank you, Rascala, our producer, Rascala Stevens. And good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.